Did you know that Gymboree Play & Music offers live online classes? Come play the virtual way. We now offer online playtime classes, and you can register for your first class for free online at gymboreeclasses.com. You're listening to the Parent Pod podcast by Gymboree Play & Music. The Parent Pod is a weekly conversation about early childhood development topics for parents with children ages 0 to 5. While the content of this show is meant to be informative, it is not meant to replace the guidance of your physician, therapist, or pediatrician. Now, if you're new to the show, welcome. We're happy to have you, and if you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for your continued support. Today's episode is going to be a little different because instead of discussing parenting strategies for raising babies and toddlers, we're going to turn the attention to the parents. Yep, you heard me correctly. Today is all about how we, as parents, take care of ourselves with parental self-care. And to do this effectively, we went to the best, and we tapped parent self-care expert and author Christy Yeh. Christy is a parent of two and a licensed marriage and family therapist who has been practicing in California for over 10 years. She currently works in school-based mental health as a wellness coordinator at a public elementary school. Christy has been passionate about self-care personally and professionally for years, which led to her start of the Parent Self-Care Instagram account, her books for parents about wellness, and the launch of the Mental Mile podcast. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Christy. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Parent Pod podcast by Gymboree Play & Music. We're excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Now, I know that I get a chance to follow you on social media, and I know that we've already given our listeners just this amazing, fantastic bio of yours, but I want to start the episode off by giving you the opportunity to introduce yourself, the things that you want to highlight to our guests, and tell us a little bit about how you got into this line of work, specifically around self-care for parents.
Absolutely. So I live in California near San Francisco, and I'm a marriage and family therapist. Right now I'm working in school-based mental health with kindergarten through fifth graders. So it's a really fun age. And a big part of what drew me to that job, I'm about 4 years into that role, is the educator wellness and parent wellness component. So the idea behind it was that the better the adults take care of themselves in their lives, the healthier we know kids show up at school and at home. So I was really drawn to that preventative aspect of the role and bringing a lot of the self-care tools that we talk about in the therapy field to parents and to educators. And I think we were talking about how self-care is still relatively new for some people. And in therapy, we really have to make sure to take good care of ourselves so that we can show up and be clear-minded and focused and compassionate for our clients. But of course, that makes so much sense for our teachers and for our caregivers. So that has got me interested in parent self-care, focusing in that area. And then actually when the lockdown hit in March in the San Francisco Bay Area, I just felt this need to dive into that a little bit more, to support parents and myself, because it was a very stressful time and still is in many ways. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I had to rework my self-care routine, just like I did when I became a mom. So I think that's really what got me started with the Instagram and the blog. And we also launched a podcast called The Mental Mile, and that focuses on parenthood and wellness as well.
Now, one thing I do want to go, I want to rewind just a little bit, because I think for all of us, we generally understand self-care because it's a buzzword that's becoming more prevalent in mainstream conversations, whether it's podcasts, Instagram content, social media content, and even just if somebody were to Google the term. But for you, what do you mean by when you say self-care? What would be the definition that our listeners can kind of wrap their minds around as they're listening to this conversation?
You know, it's a big question, and I'm so passionate, so I'll just focus in on a few things. But for me, it really means taking time to nourish yourself and take care of yourself. And I think when we become adults, whether we're caring for kids, caring for our career, or whatever it is, if we extend too much energy without putting that same nourishment towards ourselves, we get exhausted, we get burned out, we're not as compassionate. And so I would also say self-care is the nourishing things that are nourishing for you, but also sometimes the things that aren't fun that your future self will thank you for. So for me, it's prioritizing sleep, putting down my phone a few nights a week so that I'm getting good rest, making sure to exercise and eat regularly and balanced meals. And then for me, the fun stuff is reading, talking with my friends, doing my art, which is so important to me, and making time just to have scheduling and time to do nothing, because there's so much I do in terms of putting energy towards caring for my children and the kids and families I work with at the school. And I've just seen how much better I am at both of those roles when I take time for myself.
Now, and I think this is a question on everybody's mind, but how are you able to carve out that time? Is it something that you put into the schedule or put into your planner for yourself? Is it something that you speak to your family about and then they know that that's mom time? How is it that you're able to integrate it into your lives, given that you are a parent?
Yeah, you know, and that's looked different as the kids have gotten older. So my children are 6 and 3 years old. And when you've got a newborn around, it's really different, right? So I would say I've got a little bit more freedom. Every year you get some more freedom. There's certainly things I schedule in. It's been helpful during the pandemic. I have a few standing Zoom dates every week to connect with some of my really good friends. So that's just in the calendar and people get used to it and it's there. I also talk with my partner about doing the same thing for him, and really taking care of each other in that way, because I think that's important. And then we'll trade off and have some break time in the house, and the kids know that's just my break time. But I think the other thing that's important for parents is to think about how you can take care of yourself while you're actually with your kids too. Because if you have young children, or even if they're old and older and you're doing distance learning, you're together a lot. So thinking about what activities are calming for you or fun for you with your kids, taking little breaks just to close your eyes or do a stretch here and there, whatever those things are, it's good to think about the things you can do when you're with your kids, and then scheduling that really, whether it's you time, time with your partner, or time with friends that you can really look forward to on the calendar.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think one thing that and I know that I was reading it online, and you'll have to forgive me because I can't quite remember the statistic, but generally speaking, I found this article and it talked a lot about how children will have a much clearer, or the next generation of children will have a much clearer idea of self-care and what that looks like, because our generation is a generation that's actively taking time for self, nourishing ourselves, and then having these really outward and strong conversations around what self-nourishment looks like, what self-care looks like. Can you tell me, if possible, what self-care might have looked like in your family growing up? How did you see it implemented in your early life? And how has that impacted the way that you're even able to approach it now?
Absolutely. So I do think, you know, there was some element of self-care, but we didn't call it that, right? So I think the language really matters. And those weren't terms that were thrown around in my house growing up. But I do remember, which actually is a really lovely thing to reflect on, that my parents, you know, would say, like, this is date night and there would be a babysitter and we're going to have time together. And as a kid, you feel a little bit left out, right? But I think now that was a great message to me around caring for my relationship. And as much as we did a ton of things together as a family, I know my parents like to go on walks with their friends or play sports with their friends. So they were getting that exercise in and the social connection. And they didn't call it self-care, but that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And then also I remember growing up and going to, you know, coffee shops with my parents. And, you know, as a kid, coffee smells so gross. But they would get me a hot chocolate or a Madeleine cookie. And it became like a fun thing that we would do together. And I noticed I do that with my own kids. And so that's an example of self-care that I can look forward to with them. And so those are some of the things that I did see. I think in general, what you're talking about, I did also see the rise of just so much demand in modern parenting and some exhaustion that they didn't always know how to label. Mm-hmm. and there weren't those tools available, but I did have some concrete examples that I think I've taken with me, even though my parents wouldn't have labeled that.
Mm-hmm. Now, for parents that are listening to this and they're completely new to this idea of self-care, perhaps they did not grow up in a home where self-care was labeled, you know, with the terminology self-care, or where their parents might not have carved out time for social interactions or date night, what have you, just based off of their own upbringing. To them, this whole concept of taking time for self could be very dramatically new. And even a little risky, right? Because you know what works, you know how you were raised. And then now there's all of this talk of, wait a minute, you got to take care of yourself too. And you almost need to take care of yourself first in some instances, which is a dramatic shift from what parenting looked like or what motherhood even looked like 10, 20 years ago. Right. What three tips would you give to these parents when it comes to getting more invested in this whole idea of self-care?
Sure. And now I'm really excited. So you're going to have to rein me in here, but there's a little bit I want to talk about first before I get into my three steps. So what I would say is that Julie Lythcott Haymes wrote this incredible book called How to Raise an Adult. And so I just want to reference that because that's where this is coming from. And what she really talked about is the increase in really helicopter parenting and the drive to be so involved in our kids, and that pressure that if we're not at every game or we're not at every parent-teacher conference, that we're doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. And she actually cited a study that working parents today, even moms, because I think you hit on something with moms, we get hit with more of the guilt, spend more time with their kids now than housewives of the 1950s. And that's because at that time, you know, people would say you were told just to go play with your friends and come back when the sun comes down or come back for dinner. So even though we didn't call it self-care, and maybe our generation will look at that as a little bit neglectful and scary to let our kids have so much freedom, they had a lot more hours of time to themselves to manage the house, connect with friends, and do all of those things. And so I think if you're feeling guilty, just to remind yourself, you're actually spending more time than you would have with your kids years ago. And that's usually a surprise to people. And that if you look into some of these resources, like that book, How to Raise an Adult, your kids benefit from having some independence and time to figure out life skills and to figure out their identity without us always being there watching them, cheering them on every second of every day. So I think that's helpful for me, and I think has been helpful for other parents. But in terms of the three priorities, if you're new to self-care, oftentimes I find with clients that are brand new to it, they don't even know what to do with themselves because adult life is busy and then adult life with children is very busy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that we found just pure joy in as kids tend to be less important, or society looks at them as less important as time goes on. So if you don't know where to start, I just take a moment to reflect or jot down some of the things you loved to do as a kid that you stopped doing because work became more important or there were other things that were more important. And a lot of times people will talk about sports and joining a sports league with adults, or for me, it's definitely drawing. For other people, it could be music. I also danced a lot when I was a child. So one of my favorite self-care practices, you know, pre-COVID, was going to take tap dancing and hip hop classes with one of my really good friends. So I could combine this childhood love with a friend. And so that's a great thing to think about if you don't know where to start or what you would even do if you carved out the time for yourself. And then the second thing would be to schedule it, which we talked about, to make yourself accountable and practice putting it in. And you can start small and grow it a little bit more as you go. But I think putting it in your calendar, thinking of self-care as healthcare, you know, you would show up for your doctor's appointment, you would show up for your child's dentist appointment. And so scheduling in that self-care and thinking of it as good for your health, I think can be useful. And then my third tip is to share with your community. So, you know, I talk a lot about self-care in my therapist community, but it's been interesting now that I'm doing the parent self-care, talking to my mama friends who aren't therapists, and they're talking about it a lot more, talking with their partners about it. And so the more you talk about it and you sort of share those wins, those self-care wins, or the challenges of getting it in, it keeps you accountable and it keeps the conversation going and it helps you get new ideas. Mm-hmm. So, and I know for me, when I became a mom, I had friends who had kids a little bit older than me, and they were like my mentors, showing me that you could take a weekend to, you know, go away and connect with your friends, or take a weekend to go away and connect with your partner, or do these different things that feel so impossible when you're a new parent. So those would be my three tips. Schedule it in, think about what you love to do as a child, make time for that, and just connect to your with your community about it.
Now, for families who are trying to figure out, because I know right now we have, well, I shouldn't say everybody is still under COVID restrictions, but just at a glance of the United States, even I'd say maybe it's 50-50, mm-hmm. right? So you have some families that are able to get out and go about and kind of schedule these times outside of the house and maybe get away to see friends. But for families or for even I'd say let's zero in on like our first time moms. Maybe this is your first holiday season trying to make it through December, New Year's, first time parent. What are some practical things that they can do? I think the obvious one for me, if I'm thinking about it, is like, you know, try to get sleep, but you know, that doesn't always happen, particularly if you have to get up and feed the baby every 2 hours. But what are some other things that they can do to self-care during the holiday season or the winter months?
Yeah, that's a great question. And like, you know, I just think hats off to these new parents, new first-time parents during this time. That's certainly something I can't relate to. And I just think that's a lot of resilience there. Mm-hmm. But when I think to new parenthood, I think about that sort of the self-care snacking or micro moments of self-care. So the big one obviously is sleep and rest. That's huge for me. I don't, like everyone else, I don't do well with my mood. I don't do well with, you know, how I'm interacting in my relationships when I'm chronically sleep deprived, but there's some of that we can't avoid. So thinking about just taking a few moments to close your eyes and give your eyes a break during the day. And the goal is not to sleep, but just to rest. To do things just to calm your body, whether it's just sitting on the couch or lying on the couch for a little bit. And then I know, you know, this might be controversial, but I think letting your baby nap on you, and there's certain things you can do during that time. So I always say, get the rest where you can. So when I had my first daughter and there wasn't another kid, when she was sleeping, I could have a break and mm-hmm. I would either listen to funny podcasts or comedy specials or text my friends and I could have a whole text conversation. So even though you're sort of trapped to some degree on the couch or the bed or wherever you're sleeping with your baby, there's still some fun things that you can do on your phone. So just looking for those little snacks that you can get in there, because it is hard with a new baby.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we're coming to the end of the episode, but I am curious because I know that you already mentioned one book, but are there any other books that you would recommend to parents or other resources, even if they're your own, around this idea of self-care, how to implement it, and where they can find more practical information that they can just sit with, either think about it, but just some other resources that have really inspired you and that you feel would be beneficial for them to read or listen to or consume?
Absolutely. And, you know, I actually think, especially for new parents and for all of us right now, when we're so burned out, we're on screens a lot, you know, we don't have as much energy as we used to because our life isn't normal right now. We've been under this chronic stress or trauma for so many months. I actually do think Instagram can be a great place to get these little bite-sized nuggets of things, because sometimes we don't want to read a book. And obviously, you know, I wrote an ebook about self-care for parents and I love that. And I poured my heart into all the, teachers and psychologists and practices over the past 10 years that have helped me the most. But mm-hmm. as someone else I would point to that I just love is Susie Reading. And she's on Instagram and she's a great, you can get bite-sized nuggets from her on her Instagram. She also does these Instagram lives that are really short and manageable to consume. They're about 15 minutes. And mm-hmm. she'll do things on movement for mental health, how to get those snacks in of micro rest, how to make your self-care plan for the winter when we're going to be inside more. And as you said, it can be more depressing. There's less natural light. So I love those, because sometimes we want to watch a video or listen to a podcast instead of reading a book. It just depends on where you are. But I think for a lot of us right now, that's hard. The other thing I would say, if you've got the energy, Susie has one of my favorite self-care books, and it's called Stand Tall Like a Mountain. And I'm very visual, so I love the aesthetics of it as well. And it's self-care for the family. So that really gets to your point about, because I really focus on the parents, about how we're going to change this next generation. Mm-hmm. And there's things in there about mood, movement. She's also a yoga teacher. And how to have, you know, healthy and harmonious eating. So she really covers a broad spectrum, and it's visual and colorful, and you can just go to a certain chapter, pick it up, and get a little nugget of what you're looking for. So I love her book too, and her Instagram as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this episode. I have just actually one more final question, because I know that we always put this content in the show notes, but I think it's also helpful for us to ask you directly, how can people connect with you if they've got questions, either about this episode, about your ebook, or about any of your own personal resources?
Absolutely. So I think the easiest way to find me is on Instagram, and it's Parent Self Care. So that's an easy one to remember, and you can connect with me there. You can also go to my blog, which is parentselfcare.com, and you'll find everything that you need there.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for your time today. And to our listeners, if you've made it all the way to the end of this episode, thank you for being with us. We do appreciate your time, because we know with littles running around, we know it's limited. And so we're thankful that at the very least a bit that you're spending that time with us. If you have any questions about this episode or our guest, feel free to sound off on social media. You can mention either Gymboree Play and Music or our guest, Christy, here. And either one of us would be happy to hop into the comments and to respond to any of your questions or to interact with you privately. So again, thank you for listening to this episode of the Parent Pod.